you please join me in a spirit of prayer? Dear God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I may be wrong here, but I suspect this is one of the most familiar passages of Scripture. This is Nicodemus's entrance onto the scene, his meeting with Jesus. And if you didn't remember that, surely you remembered the quote in John 3:16. And if you didn't remember the quote, you remembered the guy who used to stand up with the sign in the end zone and trying to convey the message, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life." I want to talk about Nicodemus and not so much about this quote. Nicodemus is an interesting character, and he's probably one of the most famous of the big characters in the Christian scriptures. People have heard the name. We have a sense of who he might be, but we really don't have any kind of biography of him other than a few snippets that are given to us in the Gospels. So we know that Nicodemus was a teacher of Israel. And what did that mean? There was no job description for a teacher of Israel, but we know that in chapter 7, Nicodemus was involved in a debate at the Sanhedrin, the ruling council of rabbis that oversaw the interpretation of scripture in Israel. And tradition has it that there were 70 members of that group, and Nicodemus must have been respected by his peers to be a member of the Sanhedrin. Now we know that Nicodemus was also looking for more, because we remember that in chapter 7, Nicodemus was arguing in favor of Jesus and saying that he deserved the benefit of the doubt, that he deserved a full legal hearing, that he shouldn't just be bundled away and dealt with. And we also know that Nicodemus was available to Jesus after Jesus died. And he was removed from the cross, and Nicodemus provided the oils and herbs that were used to anoint Jesus' body and to prepare him for burial. But why did he show up at night? There's a lot of speculation about that, and some of it has been critical, and people have wagged their finger at Nicodemus for not being bold enough to come out and talk to Jesus. Well, there are a couple of replies to that. One that I read was interesting, and it was that Nicodemus wanted to get to talk to Jesus, and if he came during the day, he would have had to deal with the crowds. And so he showed up at night when he would have greater access to him. The other possibility is that Nicodemus was not really comfortable admitting he needed to know more. So I'm not going to conduct a poll here, but think about this question. Who here likes to admit their ignorance? Particularly if there is an area where you're supposed to be an expert. Do you like to say, "I need to know more"? So I'll raise my hand there. I don't. If there's something I don't know, I can go consult one of the books in my library. I can ask someone. I can turn to the internet, which, as we have learned from memes, Abraham Lincoln told us can always be trusted. And of course, you know the problem with that. Or I can do what some people like to do, which is just put on a brave face and bluff and pretend that I know what's going on and not hear anything from anybody else. But admitting that we don't know everything is hard. And if Nicodemus had indeed reached the heights of the Sanhedrin, he had invested a lot of time and study and effort and faith into his study of Scripture and to reaching this pinnacle of achievement. But he clearly wanted to know more. And what Jesus was doing had piqued his curiosity. So I'm not going to criticize Nicodemus. I think he's someone we should look to with some respect and some interest. And yes, he may have been fumbling in the dark, trying to find answers. But that's something we all need to do. You remember one of the great questions from ancient philosophy, or it's not a question, but it's a proposition, is know thyself. And that is one of the imperatives that we receive from Scripture, is we need to know ourselves. Now, there's a lot of stuff I don't know. I will confess that now. But there's a lot of stuff other people don't know either. And I have tremendous respect for scientists and the research they do and the things they've learned. But science has not provided us with an answer to why we exist. What is the meaning of life? And some of you may have read The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy, and you could respond to me that the answer is 42. I'm sorry, that's not good enough. I want more than a number. I want to know the meaning of life. And that is something that people have been looking for throughout history. And I think that Nicodemus was onto something when he went to Jesus. And Jesus, in his normal, sometimes inscrutable way, didn't just give Nicodemus what he wanted in simple language. Instead, he challenged Nicodemus to grapple and to think. So I think that the John 3:16, this famous verse about God giving us his only begotten Son because he so loved us that he wanted those who believed in him to have eternal life, was something for us to chew on. And I know there are people in our society who will take issue with that. They'll say it's exclusivist. Well, we have to deal with Scripture as it is. And Jesus extends an invitation for everybody to come to him. And I think the really important part of that verse is what it tells us about God. God so loved the world. Think about that. God loved the world. Not to come here and slap us upside the head. Not to punish us. Not to have someone come and tell us what we're doing wrong. But God loved us. And yes, God will have expectations for us. We see that throughout the Hebrew Bible. We see that in the New Testament. We see that through learnings that have gone on since the time of Scripture. But God loves us. And Lent is a good time for us to focus on that. Because it is so easy for us to turn away from that knowledge that God loves us. And instead, to think God is speaking for us, not to us, but that God is saying exactly what we want God to say. So here's the bad news for you. God is not your spokesperson. God is not a member of your political party. God is not the talking head you like on the talk shows. Now, hopefully you'll derive some satisfaction from knowing God is not a representative of the other party or the other guy. We all need to learn. We all need to ponder Scripture and perhaps take a moment to step back from our self-importance, our degrees, our knowledge, our experience, and confess that maybe we don't have everything figured out, that we don't know everything. And Nicodemus was willing to take that journey. And we know it went on throughout at least his life in the Gospels. But there's the old saying that a journey of 1,000 miles begins with a single step. That sounds trite, but it's true. You have to start somewhere. So maybe a little bit of introspection and reflection is something we're all called to do. Each of us and all of us together. And we can remember verse 17, which follows 16. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. God did not send Jesus here to condemn us. Frankly, God's got better things to do with God's time. Think about that. And I've said this before. God does not have to spend any of God's time worrying about what we're doing. But God does, because God loves us. So one of the areas of science that has interested me, and not in the sense that I've gone and done any great research into it, is this whole idea of quantum mechanics. And it's a branch of physics that's studying things that are going on at a very, very, very small level. And now there's talk about developing quantum computing, and governments are interested in it. And frankly, my knowledge is pretty much restricted to what I learned from Star Trek or Star Wars. So it's all technobabbles that someone makes up in a writing room. But it's interesting stuff. But I'm not going to claim to be an expert. Just because I know the words does not mean I know anything about it. I love music. I will not claim to know anything about it. I cannot tell you about music theory. I cannot read music. I've got some sense of what's going on with the music in the hymnal, but I cannot tell you what notes are what. And I have tremendous respect for those who can read music. I'm sure there's an area of your life where you'd like to know more. I hope there is. Because if you've got it all figured out, please come see me and tell me. And I'm serious about that. But let me save you some time. You don't have it all figured out. I don't have it all figured out. And humility is one of the things we need to practice during Lent and beyond. So, I'm sorry I haven't explained the meaning of life to you today. Again, if you want to fall back on the Hitchhiker's Guide, 42 is as good an answer as anyone could give you. And frankly, it's a very funny book, but it's something we need to ponder. What does God want of us? What does God want for us? And God, I believe, wants us to figure out how to get along with one another. And later in the service, we're going to share communion with one another. And we'll remember that Jesus gathered with his disciples. And Nicodemus was not there at the Last Supper, but he would have been welcome. Jesus shared his love with his disciples that night. And we reenact that Last Supper every month because that is important to us. That Jesus' fellowship extends to all of us through all time. And that is a great gift. Would you please join me in prayer? Holy and gracious God, we thank you for the gift of Scripture, and we thank you for curiosity. We thank you for figures like Nicodemus who sought to know more of you, and we seek to follow their example. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.